peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs.
What began as peaceful, quickly it turned into violent and destructive demonstrations on college campuses across the United States. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to look at the motivation behind the recent protest and the unexpected effect they are having on the Biden administration's Gaza policy, as well as the 2024 presidential election. Let's get started. For weeks, protesters descended upon campus, setting up camps and disrupting classes. Many governors came out and immediately rebuked the practice, sending in police to break them up and move them out.
We do not allow the inmates to run the asylum in the state of Florida. And if you can't abide by the rules that we have in place for conduct, then we will show you the door and you will be expelled. It is that simple.
We're not going to have encampments and tents put up. And yes, we will protect the ability to peacefully express yourself, but we're not going to have the kinds of hate speech and intimidation that we're seeing across the country in Virginia.
Now, at one point, though, a group of pro-Palestine protesters and a group of pro-Israel counter-protesters actually came together. Well, it looks like President Biden finally was able to bring the country together. Now, his complete failure to address the issue has caused him to actually alienate both sides. He did not want to come out against the protesters, as prior to the conflict, he had already been dealing with a very large protest vote during the primaries. The uncommitted vote plagued him as anti-Israel groups turned against the president as they headed to the polls. However, as violence began to arise, threats were made on Jewish students, who were actually told to go home for the rest of the school year for their own safety. And the occupations turned destructive. Now, the president could no longer ignore, as polls showed the protests were having a negative effect on his campaign.
But there is no place on any campus in America, any place in America, for anti-Semitism or hate speech or threats of violence of any kind.
But this was not the end. Now, due to the destruction and violence and refusal of some of these protesters, some of whom are not even students, to leave, graduation ceremonies have been canceled at colleges across the country. And what makes this even more heartbreaking is the students who are graduating in 2024 are the same seniors who had to have their high school graduations canceled in 2020 due to the coronavirus. Now, those who did have a graduation dealt with interruptions from pro-Palestinian protesters.
Visitors, deans of the colleges, faculty, staff, family, and friends.
Now, ironically, all of this comes while Joe Biden is trying to pass sweeping student loan forgiveness, all in order to garner popularity and support from this college-age demographic. So in light of the destructive and disruptive protests on college campuses, Americans are actually starting to question the need and purpose of higher education, especially when it comes to their expense. Okay, so I want to discuss this with our panel. I want to bring in Robert McDonald, lecturer at the University of New Haven, and Dr. Steve Turley, host of Dr. Turley Talks, and now with over 1.2 million subscribers on YouTube. Congratulations, you're one of the few that have not been limited who actually have a good voice out there. I congratulate you on that one. So I'm going to start with
Thank you,
doctor. Did you have mass campus protests regarding a foreign conflict on your bingo card for this presidential election cycle?
I didn't. And in fact, James Carville said that if Biden does lose in November, you can basically blame it on the Middle East. Even Bernie Sanders is saying this might be Biden's Vietnam, drawing parallels to 1968 with a DNC convention in Chicago to boot. So, yeah, this is really in many ways the unraveling of Biden's political order in many respects. You've got a civil war breaking out on the political left. You've got the center right more or less uniting around real major concerns of a violent leftist takeover at our universities, very similar to 1968. And then interestingly, you have this sense, it's more and more nations are openly talking about this in the Middle East, that the United States just can't be depended on for any level of stability geopolitically. And so ironically, in many respects, it was a very interesting article that just came out on this, that Russia is the big winner in many respects, if you could say it in a kind of a ghoulish sort of way. But Stimson Research did a very interesting study that found that Russia and China as well are really the only major international players that have great relationships with everyone involved, Israel, Hamas, Iran, Hezbollah, Houthis. And so understandably, ever since October 7th, in many respects, the United States status as a nation that can bring some kind of stability, the Middle East has just crashed, and Russia's status has gone through the roof.
Well, it's interesting, Robert, because do we actually know what did these protesters want? And do the majority of you think those that are actually out there protesting know themselves?
Oh, I think you're spot on. You know, we've got a lot of people here who are protesting or in the mix of the protesting, putting plans together, who are really kind of agitators, if you can call them that, outside of the academic institution that they're protesting at. They are stirring up interest. They are putting together plans on how to purchase and put together different assets to combat the police with respect to the protest areas. So I think you're right. I think a lot of the students don't even know what the actual protest topic is and or what their position is.
Well, that's the thing. You know, what side you are on the Gaza conflict, I have a lot of people that I hear that say they don't agree with how these protests have taken. Dr. Turley, I have to ask you, do you think these protests accurately reflect the movement right now and kind of how people feel regarding the conflict in Gaza?
But it's obviously very complicated. So you've got this, you basically have a culture war between the pro-Palestinian progressives on the one hand and pro-Israeli liberals on the other. So this is a civil war, culture war that's real. That's there. It's happening on the left. It's always been there. And what's interesting too is it points to a wider pattern on any kind of woke issue, to be honest with you, where woke issues basically split the left, but then they also at the same time unite the right. So if you poll pro-Palestinian sentiments and pro-Israeli sentiments, what you're going to find on the left is it's almost 50-50 in a way. It's more or less 30-40 or so with a group not really having an opinion one way or the other. But if you pull the right, it's like, you know, 80% pro-Israel. If you pull the left and say, do you support the way universities have handled the situation? 30% say yes, 40% say no. You pull the right, 80% say no. It's been a disaster. Then you pull independents, the center right, and it's 60, 70%. It's a disaster. So woke issues, interestingly, split the left, but unite the right against it. So it's really pointing to these wider dynamics that can happen with any woke issue, transgender athletes and, you know, women's sports, CRT in the classroom, whatever. The left tends to be 50-50 on it, but the right and center right tends to be totally united against it. And when you're splitting the left and you're not uniting the right, that spells disaster for November if you're a Democrat.
Well, it definitely does. But at the same time, Robert, I got to ask, because you're right. Majority of Republicans usually support Israel, except the majority of Republicans also, especially if you're talking outside of the Beltway, don't think we need to be involved in some of these conflicts, that we put our noses where we don't need to be. So is there a tear right now on the right as well? They might be pro-Israel, but they don't necessarily think that America getting involved is the right answer.
Yeah, that's. I think that's a very valid point as well. I'm not sure anybody really knows the down and dirty as to what's going on here. And people are making and forming opinions, especially our young people on our campuses. The campus where I teach really didn't have any protests at all. Our students were focused on going to their after work jobs and keeping their grades up so that they could graduate. We did have one student who walked across the stage with a slight protest with respect to the issue, but nothing to speak of. So, you know, there are a lot of campuses where really nothing happened. Kids were focused on graduating, getting their resumes ready, and going to be jumping into the adult pool to go get a job. But we did see a lot of problems with a lot of those encampments and whatnot, and a lot of injuries. And a lot of my background is as a federal law enforcement officer, and it pains me to see our students, our young people, going after police or going after each other with respect to an encampment or a protest. We're all about free speech, all about it. People should be able to voice their opinions, but we should be able to voice our opinions about the topic and not show hatred to those who are protecting you or the other students at your campus who may disagree with you on that topic.
And frankly, Robert, I think that's exactly where these conversations need to happen on college campus. I mean, that's exactly what we want to be happening, as long as they're respectful, peaceful. I'm going to stay with you, Robert, with this question, because we did find out that there are outside groups that have influenced these protests. They've been identified. Do you think this helps or hurts the cause, or would it be more effective if this was organic students coming from talking about this conflict from their perspective?
Yeah, personally, I think it hurts the cause when reports get out within the media of these type of things, the same type of tents, everybody wearing a white hard hat that were all purchased at Home Depot with a large order. Those type of things, those putting the pieces of the puzzle together to actually find out what's going on here behind the curtain, it's a little troubling. I'm all about students respectfully stating their point of view, having discussions. Quite frankly, I don't think I've seen a whole lot of debate going on with this. We've seen a whole lot of screaming and pointing fingers and throwing things at people, but I really haven't seen a whole lot of debate out there, respectful debate by people on both sides of the aisle, able to talk about the issues, to argue their point, argue it in the legal sense of the term, to be able to articulate which side of the aisle they're on, and let's come up with some solutions. That's what we should be spending our time on.
Okay, well, in our last minute of the segment, I've got to ask you, Dr. Turley, why does it seem like these protests almost always lead to becoming anti-American as well?
They are in the end, because wokeness is about the sanctification of the victim. It's about imposing a oppressor-oppressed binary on the whole of society. It's why it's technically called cultural Marxism or cultural socialism. And the ultimate oppressor in the eyes of many people, unfortunately, is Western civilization. It's a horribly racist belief system. When you have this oppressor-oppressed binary, and the only way you know which group a person belongs to is by the color of their skin or their ethnicity, it is by definition racist. And like you mentioned in the opening, Jews are finding this out big time right now. They're being discriminated against precisely because they are Jews. That's what's so frightening here. I think the good news, though, is, you know, you mentioned the frat boys protecting the flag. There's been some real flashes of heroism and courage here in all of this. Miranda Devine of the New York Post had a great article. She called it titled "Frat Boys Summer is This Year's Backlash Against an Epidemic of Arrogant, Entitled Women."
Okay, Dr. Turley, hold on. I'm going to stop right there, because that optimism, we got to save for the second half. You're already getting into my second half. That's a whole other part of this. So hold on. Hold with me, Dr. Turley, Robert. Stick around, because after the break, we are going to talk about what is going on in the past, because protests usually help the Democrat Party. However, the college campus protests are showing great disdain for President Biden, and that's on both sides of the aisle. After the break, we're going to look at the handling of these protests by the Biden administration.
The Russian state control narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi, c'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien. Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact. Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
Четвертого числа сказали война, собираемся все и едем.
У каждого была какая-то своя точка переломная, точка невозврата, так можно сказать.
Здесь все совсем другое, здесь все быстро и просто.
От России никто и не отворачивался, мы с ней и росли, мы с ней и жили.
Русским был, есть и буду.
Здесь не просто мужчины, здесь лучшие люди, они лучше нас.
Уход! Уход!
Все будет хорошо. Прорвемся.
Вариантов-то нет. Надо до конца добивать все это мероприятие. Иначе будет только хуже.
Реально бояться можно. Прям можно бояться. Ну, трусить нельзя. Лучше мы будем здесь воевать, чем они придут туда, к нам домой.
I don't believe in coincidences, especially when it comes to politics. Especially if it's in an election year. However, the recent college campus protests seem to be hurting the current president's popularity numbers. So is President Biden expecting this to be the effect? Well, I want to ask our panel and bring them in again. First, we have Robert McDonald, lecturer at the University of New Haven, and Dr. Steve Turley, host of the Dr. Turley Talks, with lots and lots of subscribers on YouTube. Robert, I want to start off with you with this question, because are these college protests a result of the president's lackluster approach to the Gaza conflict?
I think it could be. Going back to my comment earlier of students really not knowing the heart of what's going on here, I'm not sure that they're even paying a whole lot of attention to the politics of this aspect. I think they're jumping on a bandwagon of wanting to get out and protest the flavor of the day, if you will, get involved in something at their campus. Academics are not very pro-law enforcement. So the time to call in police, many instances with respect to this case over the last couple of weeks, was well after damage was done, was well after buildings were taken over, was well after encampments were set up and fortified with many different items that were purchased at Home Depot or other places. So again, there was an opportunity for the protest here. There was an opportunity for those students to get involved. But again, I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of political activity with respect to a specific politician or politicians in this presidential campaign year.
And yet there were some people behind it that were organizing this. So Dr. Turley, do you think those organizers of these protests had this administration in mind when they were being planned? And was their goal to actually support the president's decision to support Palestine over Israel? Or were the protests actually supposed to force him into that position?
It's a good question. I mean, leading up to these protests, you had a number of Arab Americans protesting Biden, particularly in places like Dearborn, Michigan. He actually, in the primaries of Michigan a few months back, he actually lost the district of Dearborn. Now, this is a district that voted for Biden by 70% of the vote in 2020. And he lost it to the generic uncommitted vote. And he lost it by 3-1. So it was a protest vote against Biden's policies in the Middle East. And obviously that doesn't bode well for Biden's chances with Michigan. But I think what's happening on these college campuses is an extension of what was happening already a few months back. And I think they tried to force his hand. I do think they tried to put tremendous pressure on him to take a much more pro-Palestinian or at least a more measured approach rather than being all in with Israel. But then, according to the Epoch Times, you have the blowback against that. Republican strategists are saying that they're seeing significant defection among Jewish voters away from the Democrats towards the Republicans for 2024. So, you know, Biden's danged if he does, danged if he doesn't. No side seems to be fully happy, and both sides are promising at least some kind of boycott come November.
Well, it's funny because we are talking about November, but prior to that, we have to get to these conventions. So I'm going to stick with you on Dr. Turley on this because you brought it up first, talking about these conventions. Are these protests, do you think, a preview of what we're going to see this summer at the political conventions?
We'll have to see. In fairness, there is a difference, you know. I mean, so in 1968, we didn't have a draft. We didn't have students being sent off to die in a foreign war. But the similarity is that splitting of the left we talked about. Even Joe Scarborough's panicking over this. He was talking about it on his show, how his parents were lifelong Democrats, but then when they saw the 68 campus protests and the violent takeover of the campuses by radical leftists, they associated the Democratic Party with a breakdown of law and order, and they went with Nixon, and they voted Republican ever since. And again, that's, if you think it through, Nixon didn't just win a landslide in order and promising to restore law and order. He didn't just win a landslide in 68. And then the biggest landslide in American history in 72, there was the quick reprieve, as it were, with Carter for the Democrats. But then the next three election cycles were massive electoral landslides in 80, 84, and 88. And so if this is playing out in at least a similar fashion, this could be epically a disaster for Democrats.
And there's always a protest at every convention. I don't know what they're protesting. There's always a reason at that time. But from your perspective, Robert, was this the rally cry that Trump actually needed to encourage engagement and recruit younger supporters for his campaign?
Well, it could very well be. You know, with respect to the conventions, the United States Secret Service will be protecting those venues under the National Special Security Event Act. So those plannings and those logistics for those two conventions have been in the works for probably over a year now. Many, many plans to develop areas of protest so that people can come and peacefully protest. However, if they don't peacefully protest, there are plenty of plans in place to make sure that that does not get out of hand, as we've seen in other places. So this may be the bell ringing for that issue. And if it is, everybody will be ready for that and to enact a safe and secure, not only venue, not only for the protectees of the Secret Service, but under the NSSE Act, everybody that's involved in that convention.
Well, Robert, I also want to stick with you on this one because since you're there on a college campus and very familiar with it, what effect do you think this is going to have, could it, on the president's college debt forgiveness? I mean, I've heard of a lot of sarcasm and memes coming out because of it. Is this really going to affect that popularity?
Well, I think we're going to have to find out, number one, really how that's going to be paid for, who's going to pay for that, what's the mechanism that's going to be in place, who's going to be eligible, who's not going to be eligible. I think that's going to be a very raw, sensitive subject as we move into November for a lot of different people on both sides. Who can get it? Who can't get it? Why can't you get it? Look, money is tough for people right now, and any chance for people to be able to alleviate some of their financial pain is going to be popular. But again, how is that going to be paid for? And is it going to be discussed openly and honestly how that's going to be paid for with respect to the mechanism that will be put in place?
Absolutely. Dr. Turley, is this going to be the reason why Republicans go, see, we told you this was a bad idea because this is the kind of people you produce from paying their debts?
Yeah, right. Talk about a backlash, right? This is what a plumber who saved all his money up so he can pay for his kids to go through college is having to pay for now. He doesn't get his money back for that, for being responsible. Absolutely. I mentioned that Miranda Devine article in the New York Post where she's talking about how we're seeing young men really push back against this. There's a real major backlash. She cited the ABC News poll that just dropped that found that voters under the age of 30 have swung to Trump, giving him an advantage of 5 points. It's a near 30-point swing from 2020. And the reason why Trump is getting numbers like that is because of the massive lead he holds among young men under 30. They're siding with Trump by double digits, by 11 points. By contrast, young women are siding with Biden by 4. So that anemic support, together with the double-digit lead that Trump has with young men, is translating now into a massive political paradigm shift where the young vote, the under 30 vote, looks like it's shifted nearly 30 points since 2020. Now they're siding Trump by 5. And according to Miranda Devine, this is largely due to a blowback by young men against what they perceive to be the hysterics of woke women, particularly campus women, like we're seeing right now in these protests.
Okay, that could be a whole nother show, and that's why we're going to have both of you back on. Thank you, Dr. Turley. Thank you, Brandon, for having us on. We really appreciate it. Please come back soon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, on the other side of the issue, a new brand of protester emerged, the Patriotic Frat Bro. It all started when members of the Pi Kappa Phi fraternity at UNC were captured protecting the American flag during a pro-Palestinian protest on campus. Now, the members of the fraternity shielded the flag for an hour during the protest, and despite the protesters throwing rocks, water bottles, and other items at them, now the GoFundMe has aimed to throw a rager in celebration of these boys being heroes. Now, the fraternity brothers have crossed over $500,000 in donations, all of this in roughly the first 24 hours, with more donations still actually pouring in. Now, one of those students who protected the flag, Alex Jones, thanked those who had given their support over their actions. Now, Jones also said that protecting the U.S. flag from the protesters had nothing to do with taking a stance or a specific side regarding the conflict between Israel and Hamas. He was right. The fraternity brothers were protecting the flag because protesters had removed the American flag and replaced it with the Palestinian flag. And when police officers came to hang the U.S. flag, once again, one of the brothers described the scene by saying the quad erupted into chaos as protesters began removing the flag once again, preparing this time to destroy the American flag. Now, Estrada also revealed he is the son of immigrants who came to this country to make a better life. And after the flag was raised, the quad came together in unison and began singing the national anthem.
And the rockets ran back, the bombs bursting in air.
I guess that's not the intentions the Biden administration was expecting or actually hoping for. This has been your 360 View. I'm Skye Noe Hughes. Thanks for watching.